our Lord and our God, we want to thank you once again because we have the joy of being able to come before you this morning. This is because we know that when we come into your presence like this, you are able to do things that no man can do. You are able to turn situations and circumstances around in a way that will glorify you. My Father, my God, everyone that is under the sound of my voice this morning will receive a touch from you in the mighty name of Jesus. Even as the song said, I love to love you, Lord. It will be our desire to have you present with us wherever we are, because we will get to know you. We will get to understand you so that you can have your way in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. So please open your Bible with me to the book of Luke. Open to the book of Luke, chapter 13. The book of Luke, chapter 13. That's where we are going to be looking at. And I believe that God himself will bless you today. And you are going to reap as a result of your knowledge of him, so that you'll be in a place of joy and a place of peace, because that is God's desire for our lives. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 17. I'm going to read a story we are quite familiar with while we talk about the miracle of his presence. The miracle of his presence. And we take the text from Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Somebody say 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Somebody say, lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorify God. God will make somebody straight here today in Jesus' name. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, somebody say daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And I told us that we are talking about the miracle of his presence. And I'm telling you that, or I want you to know that, when we start to experience God, and we learn to stand in his presence daily and all the time, there is nothing that we will not be willing to give up just to know that he is with us. When you start to experience the power of God, when you start to live in the consciousness of God being with you, our situations and our circumstances will begin to change. I'm sure we all know that from time to time we desire to be around some people. Right? Sometimes we just desire to be around some people. Don't we? There are some people you love to be around them. Because you know that when you are around these people, certain things are just different. I told you of a woman. She came to our house. She bought a car. She doesn't attend this church. She bought a car. She came to our house and said, "Look, this car that I've just bought, I want to come and show you." He said, "You know," he said, "why?" He said, "The reason being this." He says, "Since the day I knew you, since the day I met your family," he said, "God has been taking me from one glory to another." He said, "God has been doing great and mighty things in my life." So, in other words, sometimes we want to be around some people because we just know that our situation changed when we come in contact with them. Joseph was an example. When he was in the house of Potiphar, Jacob was another example. When he was in the house of Laban, all these men confessed that from the time this man of God came into their lives, things change. We want to be in the presence of people we know that can help us. If not just help us, they will at least compliment us. And when you have people who will hinder you, you find out that you start to avoid them. Is that not right? We also want to be in the presence of people that we know can counsel us. That is, if you are the type who has got the right belt, the belt of truth, if you love the truth, you know somebody who is wiser than you, somebody who can counsel you. You want to be with them. Moreover, we love to be in the presence of people we know has a power to change the situation we are facing. And I want to let you know that Jesus has the power to change your situation today. If you look at where we read in verse 10, the Bible says that Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And you know that it was the way of life of Jesus that wherever opportunity presented itself, that Jesus would teach. Or Jesus was always on duty. barring the time he took off to rest. But wherever there were people, Jesus was always on what? On duty. He was either healing, teaching, or correcting. And he was always demonstrating his teachings by his actions. In other words, Jesus knew why God called him. He also knew where to be. He said, in one of the synagogues, Jesus started teaching. We, the little Jesuses, what do we do wherever we find ourselves? When Jesus found himself in the synagogue, he could not keep quiet. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 25 to 27. Luke 22, verse 25 to 27. To have an understanding of why Jesus, each time he finds himself in a place, remember when he was standing by the well in Samaria, he was teaching, he saw that woman, he started teaching. He did not allow the law of the land to restrict him. He did not allow prejudice to restrict him. As you know, the Jews were to have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Not to talk of a man speaking to a woman. That will not deter him. He still taught. He seized the opportunity of the moment, not waiting until everything is right before he teaches. In verse 25 of Luke 22, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth do what? Doth do what? That doth do what? Praise the Lord. In the Sunday school this morning, one of the things that we read was that God will serve, that the Lord came back to serve the people. That is, those who are doing the will of God, that the Lord came back to serve them. And everyone that God has called, he has called to serve. I don't think I need to tell us, I don't think I will ever stop telling us that we are called to what? To serve. The way of God, the way of getting up with God is downward. The way of getting up with God, did I say what? Is downward. In humility, in service. He demonstrated this before he went, when he chose to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, Lord, you cannot wash my feet. He answered Peter and said, I want to wash your feet. Peter said, no, Lord, how can you? Who am I? How can you wash my feet? Jesus said to him, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you have no part nor lot in this ministry. What did Peter say? How did he answer him? He said, not just my feet. Behold, the whole of my body, my head, everything about me, wash, Lord. We are called to what? We are called to service. There is no excuse for us not to serve. We were having a discussion yesterday at my place. And I remember one of the things I told my family. I said, look, if you are going to look at the things that happen around you, is enough to discourage you. But that will not be an excuse on that day. You know something that's surprising about God is that he's so black and white. In all his wisdom, he's so black and white. Am I right or wrong? He does not understand the middle ground. That's something I know about him. Let me, for example, I don't know how you interpret this. Jesus said something. He said, he who is not for us is what? He's against us. You cannot be more black and white than that. We would say, why don't you show understanding? Why don't you do this? But God is saying there is no excuse for us not to serve. So every opportunity that Jesus had, he would seize that opportunity to serve. He got into one of their synagogues. He knew that there were all sorts of people there. He knew the Pharisees, the Sadducees were in charge. He went there. He established the word of God. Wherever you find yourself, you have a duty to establish not just the word of God, but the purpose of God. We were told this morning, and I think it's very powerful. It is not only when you go and say, look, I condemn you. It's not only when you go and say, look, what you are doing is bad, that you can still judge people by refusing to partake. Just removing yourself and saying, look, this is not what I stand for, is enough to tell people that what is happening is ungodly. And when Jesus is in your life and his spirit dwells in you, you also develop a desire to serve like he served. A desire for humility. And let me tell you something, it is not possible to serve without humility. But one of the things that God taught me is this, is that the recipe for your success is in your act of service through obedience to God. The recipe for your success is in what? In your act of service in obedience to God. It's not just service to please self, but the service that is done in obedience to God. That is the recipe for success. And the implication of that is this. Everything we do in life, if we can tie in the glory of God to it, whether it is in our jobs, we tie in the glory of God into it, you will see God take control. You get to a place of work and your desire is to say, look, how do I impact upon the life of people here? Not as a chance occurrence, but as part of your plan to say, look, now that I'm here, one of the things that I want to do is to see how I can impact upon the lives of the people. God automatically allows his presence to dwell with you where you are. Because you seek his glory. And as you seek the glory of God, God will be ready to promote you. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Let's look at a small story there. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 5 and verse 8. Genesis 22. I'll read verse 5 and verse 8. We know this story also very well. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The first thing is this. God asked Abraham to give up something that was so dear to him. Unquestioningly, Abraham decided he was going to be obedient to God. Because Abraham was seeking God's glory, God honored the words of faith that Abraham had spoken. If you remember, earlier on, Abraham had told his son, or told the people, telling them that, look, I and Isaac will go yonder, and we will return to you very soon. Look at verse 5. God honored his word of faith because he honored God. Anything you do and you honor God, God will honor you in return. When you speak, your word becomes authority. God establishes the things you see, the pronouncements you make. Sometimes it is not even intentional. But because the Spirit of God is with you, he directs you to say some things. And even after you have said it, you begin to wonder, how did I say this? Has it ever happened to you before? And you just say some things. Say, how did I say this? How come I said this? And after you've said it, God establishes it. There was a brother here. I hope you don't mind me saying this. One day, he came into the office there. And I just said something to him. And he asked me, he said, why did you say this? Why did you use this word? Why did you say this? And I said, well, I said, because I didn't even think of it. I just said it. I told him, I said, it's prophetic. I said, it's prophetic. Because it was not what I planned to say. And I believe that God has established it. The miracle of his presence. When God is with you, I mean, if you want God to be with you, seek his glory. When you seek his glory, his presence will go with you. And when his presence goes with you, you become a man of power. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. The one who can do all things. When we allow God to dwell in our hearts, we become people of integrity. What is integrity? Integrity means you are the same in different circumstances. Is that not what integrity is all about? That is, when they take you from here to there, you are the same. When you move from Australia to America, you are the same. That is integrity. In other words, when the presence of God dwells in your heart, it does not matter who is looking. And it does not matter who is not looking. You are still the same. You hold on to your belief. In fact, when you get to a place and you don't have opportunity to serve God, you'll be looking around. I remember when our sister came the first Sunday, you were utterly confused. Because she was all over the street looking for a church. She thought she was probably here, like in Africa. I hear people, some people say, praise the Lord, and shouting hallelujah and worshiping. She was busy looking for a place where she would worship. When the presence of God with you, you become a man and a woman of integrity. Because when you are conscious that Jesus is with you, you know that whatever you do, he is watching you. The reason a lot of Christians don't have integrity is because they do not carry the presence of God with them. When you carry the presence of God with you, you cannot but be a man of integrity. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Acts chapter 4, 18 and 19. When you are conscious of his presence, you become the man that God can count on. You become the woman that God can count on. Even when everybody is deserting God, you will want to stand. Even when everybody wants to live in a different way from what God say, the way God says we should live, you will want to stand. That is what we call integrity. He said, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Peter, who denied Jesus, became a man of what? A man of integrity. In the face of punishment, in the face of affliction, he was able to stand and say, look, you judge for yourself whether I should be obedient to you or obedient to God. You judge. What do you think I will do? That did not happen until after the day of Pentecost. When the presence of God with you is with you, he emboldens you. You begin to operate at the level you were not able to operate before. That is why we need to do anything within our power to make sure he's always with us. When the presence of God with you, you begin to live by principle. Not by the exigencies of the moment. Yesterday we were having a talk with a family, and they were telling us about a man who is about 75 years old. And the person gave a description. He said, that man, he doesn't stand for anything. He said, if you give him a bottle of wine or something like that, he said, look, once he saw, he will support you, he will do. Is that what we want to be our testimony? That we don't stand for anything? Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for everything. If you don't stand for something, you fall for everything. It is because we don't stand for something, that is why every doctrine of man is having impact upon us. The day we begin to stand for what we know, the doctrines of men will not be able to trip us anymore. And when the presence of God comes into your heart, that day revival takes place. The day the presence of God comes into your heart, revival begins to take place. Look at Psalm 85, verse 6. The psalmist was praying for the presence of God once again. Because it's possible for you to have experienced his presence and no longer experience it. And when you no longer experience it, it's something that we need to chase after, run after, and ensure happens to us. 85 verse 6, he says, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Because when his presence comes, there's what? There is rejoicing. A rejoicing that comes from the heart. Because he revives you. And I can tell you something, when there's a rejoicing that comes from the heart, it becomes a long-lasting rejoicing. When his presence is in your heart, you find happiness within. I told some people, I said, look, If you don't find happiness within, if your happiness comes from things around you, you will never be happy. You know why? Because the things around you will keep changing. If you buy a new car today, in another 4 years, it's already old. In fact, I'm going too far. In 6 months, there will be a newer version than yours. If you buy a TV today, in another 3 months, there will be a better one than the one you have. And then you start to feel sad. If your happiness depends on what is happening in your environment, if you think that it is people who will appreciate you and say what you have done is so wonderful, let me tell you something. What I've discovered is that most times people want to top whatever you are doing. So if you have done two, they say you don't even know how to do it well enough. Look, I can add a third one. So you will never be happy. Until you start to find happiness within you, knowing that God is with you. The miracle of His presence makes people rejoice. You will rejoice in the mighty name of Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, there's one good reason why we should be rejoicing there. These are the things that we should be looking at as children of God and rejoice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul was saying something to Timothy there. Interestingly, you know, he was writing to his son in the Lord and admonishing him. I like Paul for that. He was always looking after the younger ones in the Lord. He said, talking about Jesus, said, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. He said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, before Jesus came, the life in God was hidden to man. The abundance of life that Jesus had promised was hidden. Only very few privileged people had the Holy Spirit descend upon them and could access that glorious presence of God. But we are told that since Jesus came, God has made it freely available. It's no longer hidden to you and I. If you look at verse 11 of the place we read in Luke chapter 13. The Bible tells us that Jesus also took that opportunity. Opportunity that presented itself. He says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed down and could in no wise lift up herself. Jesus took the opportunity that presented itself in her coming to him to exercise his faith. The opportunity that comes to you, how do you approach it? How do you treat it? God is always giving us opportunity to declare his lordship wherever we are. We need to be emboldened by knowing that he's with us. I'm sure on Tuesday, when we looked at the topic of that we treated in the house fellowship, we had the disciples say, carest not thou that we perish? Speaking to Jesus. And I told the people who are with us, I said, look, the disciples simply demonstrated the fact that they did not know the kind of person that was sitting in the boat with them. That was why they spoke to him that way. And if you look at the last verse of Mark chapter 4, I think that's verse 41,
What happened?
As soon as he stopped the storm, they became amazed. They were surprised. It shows that, you know, that they didn't know the nature of the person who was present with them. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They didn't know the nature of the person that was sitting with them. And I tell people, I say, look, if you know, if you have a friend, you know him, the way he behaves, he does something, he doesn't surprise you. It is when you don't know somebody that they do something, I say, so this guy is capable of this. If we know our God, the one that is going out with us, the one that comes in with us, the one that says go, the one that says we should do what we are doing, will be emboldened. You see, some of us wait until we feel something go through our vein, until we are shaking, turning, before we think that God is with us. We need to feel special somehow before, you know, some people don't think that God is with them. When they come to service, and the service is not very exciting, and they are shaking all over the place, that is not what establishes the presence of God. The presence of God is in having the faith and knowing that he is with you. And knowing what he has called you to do. If you are going to go by your circumstance, let me tell you something. Your circumstance sometimes is as if he has not asked you to do what you are doing. Am I right? On Tuesday, we learned that. He was the one who called the apostles and said, let's go to the other side. Yet, there was storm that afflicted their boat when the other little boats were not affected. He was the one who called them and said, go. And yet, there was storm. But we rest in the fact that we know that God is the one sending us to do what we are doing. Let's look at Psalm 106 before we close. Psalm 101, please. Verse 6. Psalm 101, verse 6. It says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. The prerequisite for God's presence with you is to live a life of holiness. Once you live a life of holiness, look, it's a given that God is with you. And he's saying that once you live a life of holiness, he said, look, you can be rest assured that I will dwell with you, that my presence will go with you. He said, he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. In other words, there are people who may be serving God and not serving God. There are people who may be serving God and they are not serving God. Because it's so clear that if we are not living a life of holiness, we are wasting time. You will not waste time in Jesus' name. And the second part of verse 11 where we read in Luke chapter 13 tells us something different. When Jesus came in contact with that woman, the Bible said that woman has been bowed down for 18 years. In other words, she was almost folding over herself. She was bound. And Jesus rose to the challenge. And changed her situation. But one word that impresses me there is the fact that the Bible said she could in no wise lift up herself. Go and read that verse 11 again. The second part. He said, she could in no wise lift up herself. Are you in a situation that you cannot lift up yourself? I lost a friend a while ago. You know, when he died, they rang me. And you know what they told me? They said that the father died exactly the same age he died. The father died young. Do you know that in some families, they tend to have a pattern of diseases? It could be kidney disease that kills them in that family. Some, it's blindness. Some, it's heart condition. Some, it's, you know, specific things. And they'll say, look, my grandmother had this, my grandfather had this, and it's going through. They are helpless against that situation. The Bible said she could in no wise lift up herself. She was helpless against that situation. And I want to tell you, if your history is like that, from today, you will not be helpless against that situation in Jesus' name. That day, she was lifted up from being bound for 18 years. Some people, when they lay their hands upon to do something, they are always failing. Just at the time they need to persevere and make it through, they give up. You will no longer give up in Jesus' name. She was bowed down for 18 years and she could not help herself. One of the things that restrict us is when we think we can help ourselves. But when we hand over to God, you see what he can do. His presence with you is enough. That day, that woman became straight. In verse 16, the Bible tells us, when Jesus was referring, when the Pharisees started to say, look, why did you heal on Sunday? Jesus said something for emphasis. He said, look, this daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham is a daughter of covenant. Just like you are born again, you are a covenanted person. Yet, despite the covenant upon her life, the enemy was oppressing her. You've given your life to Christ, and you are hoping that certain things will change in your life, and it has not changed. Today, you will encounter change in that area in Jesus' name. She's been bound for 18 years. Nothing was changing. For her, John chapter 10 verse 10 was not true. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. The thief came to steal from her, to steal her joy, to steal her strength, to steal her peace, to steal her standing in the society. Until Jesus came into her life that day, she was not set free. You will be set free today in Jesus' name. It's not only people that the enemy is ravaging. Even churches, even families. In closing, let's go to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In closing, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And how quickly is a place we know very well. But let's see what is, let's benchmark where we are against what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just to tell you that how the enemy is holding captive and holding people bound. Not just people, even churches, institutions of God, holding them bound. They exist as if they don't exist. They exist, people shout truly, but they are not alive. Or they cannot see what the enemy is doing. You see, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. A time of what? Of trouble. A time of afflictions. A time of a time of confusion. It's perilous time, not here. A time of when you don't even know what is right from what is wrong anymore. A time when you are afraid to profess your faith. That's a perilous time. You are even afraid to profess that you are a child of God. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. When we begin to examine these things, okay, we'll take one or two of them. Without natural affection. In other words, when you don't have natural, it's not free-flowing. So whatever you do, there is a reason behind it. It's not a natural affection, but it's what I'm going to get from it. No longer doing it for... In other words, people begin to lose their innocence. You can't do things innocently. I remember there was a time in the life of this church that if you greeted people and you don't know how to greet them, people would take offense. No, it was that terrible. People began to lose their innocence. Whatever you said would be interpreted in one way or the other. That is when people begin to look. There's no more natural affection. It's a perilous times. Truth breakers, false accusers. Are all this not happening? How many people will you offend that will come to you straight and say, this is what you have done wrong? They will look for a roundabout way, finding fault with you. It will take the grace of God to ever hear it, that this is what is wrong. You never hear people discuss what is wrong. No, they will look for fault, look for something. We children of God, we are not meant to be so. He said, despisers of those that are good. When you see somebody say he stand on the word, people won't like you. But when you are very cunning, when you know how to wriggle out, when you see the truth, and you know how to turn it around and make it look like false, people will like you. They say he's very wise. Ah, he knows, you know, he's so good. But the one who says it as it is, you will not be liked. They say, look at him, holier than thou. He thinks he's the best. He thinks he's this. And these are the things that are holding the church captive. That will not allow you to express or release the word of God, release the power of God. But we need his presence. If his presence is to come, because there's miracle in his presence. If his presence is going to come, the truth has to be released. He said, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm going to challenge you here today. If they say there is a party in town, will you go to that party or come to church? Don't tell me. Answer it in your heart. He said, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's very simple. It's very plain, isn't it? When you love pleasure. He said, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, they can say, hey, hallelujah, brother, God bless you, this. But when it comes to ascribing glory to God, they are not there. They are like King Nebuchadnezzar. My hand has done this. My heart has built this. They deny the power of God. But they have a form of godliness. That is for sure. You know? To belong. These are the things that are holding the church of God captive. And the Lord will release us today in the mighty name of Jesus. The last verse that we read, verse 17, tells us that after Jesus had answered them, he said, his adversaries were ashamed. Your adversaries will be defeated. I say they will be defeated. They will be ashamed in Jesus' name. That was what happened. After he said, look, who are you? He said, hypocrites. How many of you will not lose his ox, his ass, to feed on Sunday? How come? Do you know that when God starts to bless you, some people don't see why you should be blessed? They did not see why that woman should be healed on Sunday. The fact that she's been suffering for 18 years is immaterial. There are always stumbling blocks. Even when God is present with you. But one thing I can assure you is that victory is yours in Jesus' name. Lastly, open to you. Now, lastly. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I thought we need to read this. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Paul was saying something to Timothy there. Okay, 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You need to have been reading that place and coming, and look at what he said has happened to him. He said, but nonetheless, what happened? He said, God stood with me. God will stand with you. I said, God will stand with you. He said, God stood with me. He said, that by me the preaching might be made fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. When Paul was talking about lion there, do you think he was talking about a real lion? He was talking about human lions. And they are not likely to be unbelievers. They are actually people he was working with. They were believers. They were not unbelievers. When God starts to do good in your life, and you hear that you don't deserve it, no, it can't happen to you. And I'm telling you that God will deliver you in Jesus' name. Victory comes with his presence. There's the miracle of his presence. As you know, today is the third Sunday of the month. If you are in the house this morning, life has beaten you hard. Either you are sick in your body or even emotionally at this point. And things are not going well. It's like the enemy wants to have an upper hand. When we rise up to pray, I want you to come out quickly because our time is gone. Please, can we just rise up? If you are in the house, you want to be prayed for? It looks like the enemy is having an upper hand in your life, in any facet of your life. Particularly if you are physically sick. Because we have prayed concerning you today. I want you to come out. Please, can you just come out so we'll pray with you? There is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides him. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. I want somebody in the choir to take that. So you are in the house this morning. Either you are afflicted one way or the other. You don't have to tell any man. Can you just come out now? It may be emotional. It may be physical. Just come out. We need to pray for you right now. Like our God, there is none holy as thou. I want to let you know that all that you need is his presence with you. Because when God is with you, you are going to experience victory in your life. In that particular situation, you are going to experience victory today. You are in the house, you are sick in your body, or even your emotional state is such that the enemy looks like he's having an upper hand. Please, just come out right now. And there's no going and coming back. You'll give a testimony today in the mighty name of Jesus. You will give a testimony. As we pray for you, you will give a testimony. All that you need is his presence. In Jesus' name. Kalobo shekarobo to sondorobo. Your presence, O Lord. Your presence in this life. Even right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, even at this moment, your presence over her, Lord. Let your presence be upon her right now, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let everything about this body, let everything about this life, let everything about this soul, let everything about this spirit come into perfect attention, because your word is here. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that anything that exalts itself above the word of God in your life will come to attention now. Will come to attention in the mighty name of Jesus. We banish every work of the enemy that afflicts your soul, that afflicts your emotion, in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive of the Lord. Receive of his presence right now. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand up. Please don't go. Ribo ko soto lobo shekaba kandere ba leko to sunde. Yebo kalebo sheke. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is in this life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is in this life right now. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Touch her, O Lord. 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 Let her experience you in a new dimension right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ribo ngalebo sheke. Ribo ngalebo tingalebo katenlebo. Lika poko lika ndaraba. Kelibo sheke. Ribo kaponga lika tansa. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Libo ngarebo kelibo. Receive of him. Receive of him. Receive of him. Receive of him. Receive of his presence in the mighty name of Jesus. Kalebo. Rimbo koloko sondereba. Lipa kaleka sandaraba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yipa lika tasa. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Kandereba liko to sondereba. Yepa kalekatasa. Yes, Lord. Your presence, O Lord. Your presence, O Lord. Your presence, O Lord. Your presence, O Lord. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. Lord, let everything about this life come to your knowledge right now. Because your spirit is here. Your presence is here. Your glory is in this life right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Yepa kaleko soto. How can they stand? How can they stand? Everything that is not of God, how can it stand here? Because the King of Glory is here. Oh, ye gate, lift up your head and let the King of Glory come in Jesus' name. Kalebo shekarebo koto sondereba. Yepo korobo sotorobo loko shenga. Lipo ngareba sandereba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Kalekandaraba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are in the house. Don't let this moment pass you by. Please, can you just come out? You know you need to be prayed for. Please come out right now. Please come out right now. You know you need to be prayed for. It's not about any man. You just come out now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Please come out right now. Come out. His presence is here. His presence is with us this morning. Can you please come out right now? I don't want you to go home the same way you have come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Father. I didn't ask any of you what you came for. But did anyone come out because of physical illness? Thank you, Jesus. Is this something you can check? Is this something you can check? Thank you, Jesus. Can you check and let the Church of God know what the situation is?
Praise the Lord. I was having tummy and body pain. Yeah, before now. So I thank the Lord. I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name.
You believe you are healed? Do you still have the pain now? Praise the Lord. Any other person? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for every life that you have touched today. Your presence is better than gold. Your presence is better than silver. Your presence is better than what the world has to offer. That is what we want, oh Lord, in our lives. Lord, let none of your children leave this place and not be under the cover of your presence again, in the mighty name of Jesus. Anything that separates anyone from you, anything that becomes a barrier from being able to abide in your presence, in the mighty name of Jesus, they become history today in Jesus' name. Because in your presence is the place of power. Your presence is the place of joy and rejoicing. Your presence is the place of peace. Ah, Lord, this becomes the portion of your people from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the healing that has taken place. It is permanent. I say it is permanent. Amen. You are healed, spirit, soul, and body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty name we pray.